Well, good evening. Well, we're moving on through the Sermon on the Mount, and it's been wonderful to this point. I don't know about you, but I've needed to hear every one of these topics that we have been talking about as we venture through the greatest sermon ever preached. And you know, that's what I would like to begin with tonight. I don't know how you feel about it, but as I was thinking this week on preaching tonight, and as I was thinking back to recap on all the things that we've talked about up to this point, and it's just that is that many of us, I think, you know, we get set into one of these series on a lot of these topics and things, and sometimes we let them go in one ear and out the other many times, and this stuff right here, folks, is vital. It is vital to our Christian faith. It's vital to our walk with Jesus. And I hope that you've been paying very astute attention to what's being said, because the things that Jesus has portrayed here, that he's talked about, that he's trying to relay to each and every one of us, are things that each and every one of us, we fall short of each and every day of our lives. I don't care who you are. I don't care how close you think you are to God. I don't care how perfect you think you are. You know, we could go one by one by one, and every one of us have had situations, we've had times in our lives where we failed miserably at all these things. You know, I think about forgiveness. I think about loving our enemies. You know, we go back a few weeks, and how many of us could use a scolding or two on loving our enemies? And then, you know, Brother Gabe, he done a wonderful job on teaching on giving. And we all could do a better job of giving, not only of our means, but of our time, of our effort, huh? And you know, last week we talked on prayer. Uh-oh. We talk about our prayer lives. How many of us think our prayer lives are where they ought to be? And you know, if we look in the mirror and we think about those things, it's serious business. You know, this morning we were challenged as a church from the pulpit this morning to unify and to be a church that's growing. And the way that we're going to be that kind of church is by being able to do all these things that we wind up talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think tonight the topic that we're going to talk about tonight is one that does not get talked about enough. And on the other hand, one that I'm not sure that any of us even practice. And if I'm wrong, then you can come up to me after the message and say, "Well, brother, I do this all the time," and I'll apologize. But I was thinking of the 20 plus years that I've been a Christian and that I've served and done all these things, and I think about fasting, and we're going to get into fasting and the right way to fast and the wrong way to fast. And in these three little verses tonight, over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16, 17, and 18, Jesus lays out the right way to fast and the wrong way to fast. And you know, many of us, we're ignorant of fasting. I really do think this, and I say that because I was ignorant of it, and not that I don't know what it means, but in the right way to do it. And you know, many of us, we think of fasting these days, and you know, we're in the world of diets and fads, and I think a lot of us, that's what we think of, is it not? That's kind of where I was at. And I know we laugh and we giggle about it, but many, I'd imagine that many people, you ask them and you talk about that, and that's what they're talking about. You know, that's what they would think that you're talking about. And really, it's abstaining from food for the right reasons, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But it's to give all seriousness and all amounts of abilities to God when we fast, and it's to put our intense focus on nothing but drawing near to God, and so that's where I really want to dive in tonight. And so if you're there, we'll read these scriptures tonight, and I won't keep you long, but got a few things that I want to say tonight. And you know, the benefits of truly fasting, they are enormous. They are. But there are also very much dangers when it comes to fasting for the right reasons. And I think that many times, just like in all things, whether it be giving or anything else, a lot of times we do them for the wrong reasons. We give many times to get accolades, to get patted on the back. Look at me. Look how much I've given. You know, and we talked about it. We talk about the Pharisees, and we talk about the prayer lives of many people. And, you know, we all know people who can stand and give the most beautiful and eloquent prayers. And yet, how many times have they entered into their prayer closet and truly been on a one-on-one level with God and prayer? A lot of times, not at all. Not at all. They're simply prayer. They're simply words to impress us as men and women. And we never want to get to that place. And that's the same thing that we can do with our fasting if we don't do it for the right reasons. And so let's just dive into this tonight when we leave this place tonight, I hope that we'll understand the right motive and the right way to fast. All right. And as simple as that sounds, you know, I don't know. Many of us, I think we struggle with this, if we've even done it at all. But the Bible here says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, that they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So we see here very quickly, fasting means obviously to abstain from food for a religious or spiritual purpose. And not only that, but a practice that was very much used by Jesus and all the great leaders of the Bible in days gone by. They used this practice openly and for us to see. And very simply, fasting means to be so consumed with a matter that it becomes more important than food. Now you think about that, and I know that many of us think, well, we've got to eat. But what could be more important than putting God first in our lives? And that's the thing. And it doesn't just stop with food, but it goes on and on. As I was thinking about this week, thinking about all the things that we put before God, there's tons of them. And the thing is that many of us today, we can't abstain for anything for very long. We can't go without our phones. We can't go without TV. We can't go without you know, whatever it is that you want to set up on that pedestal, but there are many. There are many. And so tonight I want you to really hone in and think about your own lives and think about all the things that we tend to consume ourselves with, and G-O-D is not one of them. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. Let's peel back the layers and think about that, because you know, it's humbling. It's very humbling when we think about the things that we don't take serious, but yet we profess to do it all the time. You know, we profess to be Christians. We profess to be so faithful. We profess to be scholars and such a way that others would think that we're so faithful and so spiritual, but yet we're so far away. And so you think about that tonight. And think about what fasting truly means. It says, "Therefore, as a believer, I set food aside in order to concentrate on seeking God about the matter." You know, biblical fasting means more than just abstaining from food. It means to abstain from food in order to concentrate upon God and His answer to a particular matter. You understand, Everything that we do, everything that we strive to do, we ought to take to God to seek His will in it. And in doing so, and so you think about the big decisions in our lives and some of the things that we've taken to God, and we wonder why we don't see God's will. Sometimes we miss it or we pass it up altogether. And it hit home for me. I thought it's right here. It's right here. It's because my concentration, my lifeline to God, it's not where it should be. You know, we seek God's will. We really want Him to pour out blessings upon us and show us His way. And yet our mind is in a million different places. And it's because we're thinking about work. We're thinking about supper. We're thinking about laundry. We're thinking about a whole list of stuff. And we never truly can just hone in and truly seek God in His face. And so this is what fasting is all about. We truly have to open up that lifeline. We truly have to open up the means of communication. And we have to put everything else down. All those crutches, all those vices, all those things, our computers, our phones, work, all those things. Because there's going to come a day very soon, that none of that stuff is going to matter. It's not. And so that's why we bring this up. And, you know, the thing is Jesus assumes believers fast. He said when you fast, in fact, He expected us to fast. He fasted and He taught fasting. And in the early believers, they fasted as well. Yet so few of us have continued to fast. And, you know, that's the thing. I've seen it on social media. I think even a few years ago, we even had a chain letter or a sign-up sheet out there that we were going to fast one day, and then you take the next day and all that. And as I thought back on that, and maybe some of you guys here remember that and some of you don't, but that's not biblical. That's not biblical. The thing we were doing out there is we were showing off. Hey, look at me. I'm going to take this day. I'm going to fast. I'm going to go without food. Like we've really done something for one day. You know, Jesus went 40 days. 40 days. And so it's key that we look right there. It says in verse 16, it tells us plainly the wrong way to fast. All right, so we'll get through this very quickly. Verse 16 says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrite. Be not as the hypocrite of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces." You see, these guys that they're talking about tonight, they wanted everybody to know what they were doing. Oh, look at me. Come on, please ask me. Isaiah, ask me, what's the matter with me? But seriously, that's what he's talking about right there. They had the sad countenance. They had a frown on their face because they wanted someone to ask them, what are you doing? That way they could say, oh, I'm fasting. I'm fasting for God. Huh? You know, and so we think about that. We see right there, more, we don't want to be as the hypocrites. That's the wrong way. When you fast, do not look somber. Don't disfigure your face. Don't try to show it to the world what you're doing. Because it plainly tells you what you're going to receive from that. When you do that, that the Bible tells us that you've received your reward in full. You already have. That's all you're getting from that. You know, you that's it. Hey, Bo, I fasted. Hey, that's pretty cool, man. That's it. That's all you got from that. Wow, that's cool. You've been a week. Boy, you're looking good. Your britches are fitting better. I mean, is that what we do it for? Because that's what the Bible tells us plainly not to do. That's not what it's for. But many times that's what we do. How about the folks? I love the folks here that they go on Facebook. I'm taking a hiatus, right? I'm going to take a hiatus. If you need to reach me, you can mail me a letter or call my wife. For what? So everybody go, oh, wow. They could put their phone down. They're not getting on Facebook for a while. That's cool. You know, we think about all those things that we do, and we probably don't mean anything by it, but really we probably do. I mean, that's why we put it on there, wasn't it? So somebody would, oh, okay. You know, just like when we diet, you know, we take that before picture and the after picture, put them side by side, so everybody will go, wow, you did a great job. You did a great job. You look good. You know, that's what we do as humans. That's what we do. We want to be praised. We want to be anointed. We want to be put up here because that's what we like. But if that's what you like, you see, if you spend all your time here on earth looking for you and you and you to tell me how good a job I'm doing, and that's all I'm ever going to get. And we consume ourselves with that. And you're going to come to the end of your life, and you're going to think back, and you're going to go, man, all those men and women, boy, they really liked everything I did. But then we're going to look at our crown, and there's not going to be very many jewels in it, because we spent all of our time seeking the approval of men, seeking the pats on the back from all the things that don't really matter. You see, Jesus laid it out. Don't fast as a hypocrite. That's wrong. And as we know, being a hypocrite is real danger. There's four reasons why people fast, and all but one of them are wrong. Are you ready for this? We'll go fast. People fast to fulfill a religious act, don't they? They want to look religious. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. Don't fast as the hypocrite. Don't pray as the hypocrite. Do it in secret. Do it in silent. For the reward come from your heavenly Father. You understand that? Don't do it to seek the accolades from men. Number two, people fast to gain religious recognition. I kind of already hit on that. But we want to, you know, those kind of go hand in hand. But most of us, most people who are not doing it for the right reasons, they do it to look more religious than they really are. That's it. That's all. You know, I don't read my Bible. I don't come to church. I don't do this. I don't do that. But then all of a sudden I get to feeling sorry for myself. So I'll do something that'll make others think that I'm religious so I can keep up appearances. You know, and that's what we do. People fast to gain recognition, and then people fast to genuinely meet God for some special purpose. I hope each and every one of us tonight understand that that is truly the only way to fast, and that is to genuinely meet God for a special purpose. You see, fasting was condemned by Christ for not doing it the right way. Fasting for any other purpose other than to meet God is condemned. When you fast, fast only for Him. Look at verse 18. It says that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Who you want your rewards from? You want them from me, or you want them from Him? His rewards are much greater and much grander. And guess what? They're eternal. Amen. They're eternal. Yeah. But see, we don't. We want to feel super spiritual, and very few believers truly fast. And that's the problem, and when we really do it, we must guard against that super duper sense of spirituality and pride. You see, we must. You know, we may start out for the right reason, and the problem is that we try to do it in our own power. We try to do it in our own strength, and before we know it, we've got to have a little pick-me-up, and so we slip it out. I've been fasting. You tell your wife, or you tell your brother, or you tell your best friend, and oh wow, that's cool. And so then you can go a little longer and a little longer, but then man, it gets hard, and so then you have to tell somebody else, and you tell somebody else, and before you know it, guess what? You've ruined it. You're doing it for the wrong reason now. And you see, we do it to feel super spiritual. We also do it for confidence. Our confidence should be in God and God alone, not in ourselves. And see, after a true, genuine fast, we must go forward depending on the strength of Christ and not our own energy and effort. You see, to do a true fast and to truly rely on God and to truly open up that spiritual highway between you and our Lord and Savior, He has to give us all the power. He has to give us all the ability, because without it, there's no way we can do it. You know, you can do it for a day. You can do it for a couple of days. But we must do it for a length of time where we can truly depend on God. And He can draw towards us and deliver us and show us His will and His way. And He will. He will. But we have to depend on Him and we have to trust in Him. But many times, you know, and we've talked about this a million times, but we live in a fast-paced society, and we live in I want it now society. And so that's the thing. We start out the right way, just like in anything, maybe even our prayer lives. We start out that way, but many times when things don't immediately turn around, we forget all about our prayer closet. We forget all about our fast. We forget all about abstaining, or we forget all about picking up our Bible every day. Every day, reading God's word every day, pray without ceasing. We forget all about that when good things don't immediately start happening. And, you know, we talked about that this morning. You know, it's strange. It's very strange and it's amazing. It's amazing how you and I, and I talk to myself as much as I talk to you tonight, but it's staggering. It's staggering how hypocritical each and every one of us are in this room tonight. It is. Monty, he brought up a great point. We were talking this morning, and we were talking about David, and we were talking about setting the example for our younger ones and the ones before us or behind us that were coming up, and trying to set that example and do and show the way. And you know, we were talking about Sundays, and it's amazing how you know, Monty brought up the point that boy, we'll do a lot of things, and he was talking about going out to eat on a Sunday. You know, we'll miss church, we'll do all those things, and we condemn those people. We condemn those people for not being in church. They're over at Cracker Barrel or at KFC working. But guess what? We'll show up over there, won't we? And serve me, right? I thought that was wonderful. I thought that was wonderful. And so, you know, if you're going to condemn those people for working on Sunday, then you ought not go out and eat. And so you think about that, and it was humbling. I thought about that, and he's exactly right. He's exactly right. We're so hypocritical when it fits us, and it's you when it's not me, right? I mean, and that's what we do. We look out amongst our brethren, and I can't believe he's doing that. I can't believe you're doing that. But we don't look at ourselves. You know, where was old so-and-so at tonight? But then you'll head right over there and eat. Do those things. Be careful. Be careful. The danger of sharing your fasting experience is condemning, and it's crucial, especially those who are closest to us. Keep it between you and God. And another thing, the danger of changing our appearance in the way that we act or behave. If we purposely change our appearance or the way that we act to draw attention to ourselves so that we'll be asked what we're doing, then we again have lost the benefit of the fast. What's the Bible tell us to do? It says, but when thou fast, anoint thine head and wash thy face and look like any other day. You know what I took from this, Christian, is we ought to be the type of people that nobody knows if you've got $1 or $1 million in the bank. People ought to not know if you just lost your dog or if you just hit the lottery. We ought to be the type of people, when people see us, that's the same Christian man or woman that I see every day for the last 50 years. I can't tell one iota about him. All I know is that he's faithful, that he's here every time the doors are open, anytime I need him, anytime the church needs him or her, they're there. I could count on them day or night. Rain, sleet, or shine. That's the type of people we ought to be. Not those type of people that, oh, you know what I had to do last night? I had to go do this for old so-and-so, or I had to do that. We don't think about those things. We boast about them. And again, we do it so that we might gain reward from man. And the thing is we could do it. We can do it. There are people that do it. You never know. You never know what they've done. You never know what they give. All you know is that they have a smile on their face, and they'll serve any way they can, anytime, anywhere. You see, fasting means to be consumed, and fasting in the wrong way most certainly has its reward as well. We have to ask ourselves, do we want to be esteemed by men, or do we want to be esteemed by our Heavenly Father? Number two, we're going to see the right way to fast. Are you ready? Verses 17 and 18, and we'll be done. It says, but when we fast, put oil on our head, like I've already stated, and wash your face so it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees it, what is done in secret, will reward thee. Will reward thee. He doesn't want everybody to know. Just you and Him. Just you and Him. Fasting is a duty. Every believer is expected to fast. When's the last time you've really needed something? You've really needed God's guidance. You've really needed God's strength. Did you think about fasting? The answer is probably not. Probably not. Because like I said in my introduction, many of us were too distracted to think about those things. But the thing is we must. Jesus expects it from us. He wants us to do it. We know that Jesus fasted. Matthew chapter 4 verse 2 says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. He was hungry. But guess what? What he was doing for each and every one of us. Guess what he was doing on those 40 days and 40 nights? He was praying for his people. Yeah, he was. He was. He was able to withstand 40 days and 40 nights. Many of us, we can't withstand 4 minutes. Think about that. It's humbling. It's humbling to think about those things. We know that the early leaders in the church fasted. Acts chapter 13 verse 2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord, fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. You know, I'm ashamed sometimes to call myself an elder because I ought to fast. I ought to be on my knees daily praying for each and every one of you. Praying that the Lord would guide my hand and my thoughts and my heart. But we don't. I don't. And I'm ashamed to say it. We want good things to happen. We want all this stuff to go right. But none of us truly want to put in the work and the effort to do it. And that's what it is. It's effort. It takes sustainability. It takes strength that we don't have. Nobody in here has the strength to fast on their own. But through Jesus, we do. But we have to want it. We have to want it. And many of us, we just don't want it that bad. We want what comes with it. We want what men say about it. We want all those things, but we don't want to put in the work to do it. And it's humbling. You know, Acts 14:23 says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, I whom they had put their trust in. It's expected for each and every one of us, not only the elders, but right on down the row, to fast in prayer and supplication. And I know there are going to be time. I mean, there's going to be days upon days that we don't do that. But it seems to me like if some of the decisions in our life, you know, that there would be many, many opportunities for us to take time to fast and truly pray for one another's. But a lot of times it's because the problem or the seriousness of what's going on doesn't hit close enough to home. But I bet if your closest loved one was dying or eat up with cancer or whatever the charge might be, I promise you, you'd forget all about food. It's because of the love we have. Do you love your spouse or your children more than you love Jesus? Because it's apparent that many times we do. Think about it. I know what I would do for my children. Mothers, I know what you'd do for your children. You'd forget all about food for as many days. If I come and told you all you had to do was not eat for 40 days and your child would be cured of cancer, you wouldn't look at food for 40 days, would you? But Jesus asked for us to do it every once in a while and come to Him in prayer. How many of us do it? And like I said, if you do, you come to me and you let me know and I'll surely apologize. Fasting is to be done without notice. As a believer, we're to fast before God and not men, and there's no other way. There's to be no change in our appearance or behavior. When I'm seeking God in a very special way, it's just me and God, and that's it. That's all you should want. And guess what? That's all that you need. You don't need to hear from anyone else. You don't need to know about anything else. but exactly what He's wanting you to do, and then do it. You see, fasting the right way, it most certainly has its reward. And I believe this with all my heart, if we truly do what God's Word tells us. And this goes without saying, you know, we all know this. I'm not telling any one of you in here tonight something that you don't know. But we must be reminded of those things. Just like we know that we're to give, just like we know that we're to treat our brothers as ourselves, you know, that we treat our neighbors as ourselves. We know all those things. But yet we struggle so mightily to do them. It's because Satan, he's alive and well, and it just takes a little chink in the armor. It just takes one little whisper in our ear to go, well, you know, I've already done all those things. Man, I've gave so much. It'll be okay not to do it this time. Or I pray quite a bit. You know, like I was talking this morning, the problem is that we stack ourselves up against one another and not against our Heavenly Father. That's why we don't do these things. I give as much as Bo does. I show up to church as much as Johnny does. I show up more than he does. I'm okay. That's not the point. The point is, we're to strive for perfection. We're to be here every time the doors are open. We should strive to give more than anybody else, of means and time and service. I know we're not going to always do it. God knows we're not always going to be able to do it. But what we can do is strive to do it. We can strive each and every day of our life to do it. God will honor the fast when it's done the right way. He will honor your prayer life when it's done the right way. He will honor your $1 or your $1 million gift if it's done in the right spirit, in the right frame of mind. He will honor your words, your teachings, your efforts, if they're done the right way, to bring honor and glory to God. You see, that's the answer tonight. Do you do everything to bring honor and glory to God? Or do you do everything to strive to look better in front of men? And see, that's the $1 million question. That's the one that we struggle against every day. Because I, just like you, we like those pats on the back. Don't get me wrong. Each and every one of us do. Don't lie to yourself. Don't sit out there and go that you don't like to be appreciated for a good job. You do. I do. You do. Everyone does. You know why I know that? Because many of us, I can see your lip dragging the ground when you don't get patted on the back for doing a good job, right? It stinks. It hurts. That's what most of the talk is at the water cooler. I did all that. Nobody even appreciated it, right? I did this. I did that. They didn't even recognize me. Don't do it for that. Do it for Him. And when you do it for Him, you know that your reward is coming. You know that your reward is coming. Because the Bible says that where He goes to prepare a place. And where He goes to do it, He's coming back for us. And He's going to take us to that place. Your reward is in heaven. Don't do it for any other reason. You see, it'd be easy for me to stand up here tonight, right, after preaching this and go, I'm going to challenge each and every one of you to fast. But that wouldn't be right. You see, because if I ask you to do it, then I'm going to know that you're trying to do it. And that would totally go against everything we've talked about tonight. All the benefits of it. I'll leave you with this tonight. Brother Darren, you can come. Sister Betty, you can come. We'll have a song of invitation tonight. And this is the one thing that I took from this, and this is the one thing tonight that I hope that you take from this talk about fasting. Tonight, you see, honestly and fervently, when we fast and we do it in secret and do it to Him alone, it demonstrates our seriousness to Him and Him alone. He knows we're serious about business. You see, many times we take our prayers, we take our supplications to Him, and we do it quickly. And we do it when we've got time, and we do it in such a way that I think he sees right through us. He knows that you didn't really mean that. You know, you want me to heal or you want me to comfort, but did you really mean that? Do you really want me to? Because I don't see you truly selling out and concentrating and giving me your full focus. You see, when we fast and we do it in secret, when we give, when we pray in secret, he knows we mean business. And then he'll do business with us. And so I ask you tonight, think about your life. Think about how serious you are with God. And, you know, we all have to answer that question of seriousness. And I think we live in a time and we live in a world today where we need to be as serious as we've ever been before. The time's before us. And Satan, he's like a ravaging wolf out there. And if we're not serious about God's business, then he's going to be serious about devouring us. And one or the other is going to happen. Either Satan's going to use us or God's going to use us. And I pray that God uses me and never Satan. And so I ask you that tonight. If you need to come pray about your seriousness with God, would you come tonight and pray? What number are we going to sing, Brother Darren? 248. Page 248. If you need to pray tonight, you come.